Our sermon today is entitled Lemuel's Favorite Oracle. And we know that in our time, when we speak of human beings possessing great knowledge, what name comes to our minds? When we speak about great knowledge by human beings, we know that names like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, William Shakespeare, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., those are names that come to our minds, our mom, our dad, and we have wonderful, knowledgeable families too around us, right? We know that in conversations among our peers, just mentioning names like Socrates and Plato and Aristotle, it is believed that many around us think that we are knowledgeable. We are beyond our years, and it helps to create a positive image about our educational level. Plato and Aristotle, they were all philosophers. Philosophy is defined as the study of fundamental nature of knowledge. It talks about reality. We know that Socrates was a Greek philosopher. He was credited as the founder of Western philosophy. And Plato was credited as an innovator for new knowledge and new ideas. Then we have Aristotle, whose writings on physics, biology, ethics, drama and music, etc., his teachings set in motion the groundwork for modern science. And we know that Martin Luther King Jr., who we know maintained a non-violence persona, while bringing to the forefront the African-American stories and situations during the civil rights movement. And you know that Mahatma Gandhi, he was an Indian lawyer and political ethics. He also followed a non-violent behavior to lead the successful campaign for India's independence from British rule. So these were all very knowledgeable people. You are also very knowledgeable. So you should take some credit for yourself. So while these were all extraordinary, knowledgeable humans who possessed great knowledge, the real question is, yes, they were knowledgeable, but were they filled with wisdom? Could separate the two. Wisdom, we know, only comes from God. Wisdom does not come from a textbook. It does not come from Yale. It does not come from Harvard. We go to school and become knowledgeable, but wisdom only comes from God. And how do we know that? According to the scriptures, the wisest man who ever lived in biblical times, his name was King Solomon. He was very young when he became king. He was only 20. And he asked God for wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord came to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "Ask. All you have to do is ask, and I will give it to you." And at 20 years of age, Solomon, the son of David and Bathsheba, became the third king of Israel. Bathsheba, as we know, was the mother of Solomon. And like any good mother, she gave Solomon a pet name. "When my son came home from the hospital, we gave him a name, but up to the age of 7, I called him by Babushka. And he responded to Babushka. And one day he said to me, call me Joe. Okay. No more Babushka. I only call him Babushka. He's 24, but he really needs something. And he will respond. But if he doesn't need anything from me, now he's Joseph. Not even Joe anymore, he's Joseph. Call me my real name. Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, called him Lemuel. Solomon had six names. He was called Solomon at birth. His mom called him Lemuel. Notice the E-L at the end of his name, tying him back to God. E-L in Hebrew means God. He was called Jedediah. He was called Koheleth because he wrote most of the wisdom literature in the Bible. He was filled with wisdom from God. He was called Ben-Ayoko. He was also called Agur, A-G-U-R. So he had six names. And at his temple, there were six steps leading up to his throne. Each step represented one of his six names. And Lemuel means he was consecrated to God. Solomon loved his mother, and Solomon loved the Lord. But something strange happened on his wedding night. Apparently, he was not too bright at all. So he had a little too much to drink. Can we relate? It's not easy to say at church, I had too much to drink. I can understand. But on his wedding night, it's an excuse, he had too much to drink, and he slept until the fourth hour of the day. We know that the third hour is 9 a.m., the fourth hour would be 10 o'clock. And I don't think that's bad to wake up at 10 o'clock in the morning. But not so with Mama. Mama marched into his room and she said, son, oh Lemuel, my dear Lemuel, you are the king. It is not for kings to drink and sleep in late. You are wise beyond your years, but right now you are not setting a good record. Wake up. Put on your kingly attire. There are about 100 people in the next room waiting for you. Solomon was king, and he was also the judge. So he had cases to plead. And there he is, laying in bed at 10 a.m. Mama would not have that. His mother said, wake up, put on your kingly attire, get to your job, and judge righteously. You must plead the cause of these people who come before you. Solomon, we know, was judge and king. His mom said, do not drink and forget who you are, O Lemuel. Do not drink heavily anymore like that. The only excuse you have to drink heavily is if you are about to die. That's your only excuse that you can drink heavily. You are young, you are the king, you are the judge. Wake up and go plead your cases. Get to your job. She said, you are filled with strength and vigor. Rise up, gird up yourself. You have a new wife. Step up and be a man for Christ's sake. Those are the words of a caring mother. King Solomon, he was the king, and Mama is talking down at him. But he knew he was at fault, and realizing how his mom had regarded him to the fact taxed at the seriousness of life, my God, he was only 20, Solomon arose from his bed and he took his pen and paper, whatever they wrote on at the time, it was a scroll. And he thought, today is my day, and I'm going to write my favorite oracle. I'm going to direct this to my mother and to all women. Notice, he never talked back. He was the king. He was just married. Mom is in my face, telling me everything that I don't want to hear. And I'm not going to talk back. Young man, you can take a hint. He took out his writing materials and he began writing the portrait of a virtuous woman. Virtuous means having great moral standard. Solomon said, who can find a woman of moral standard? While her family is still asleep, she wakes up in the wee hours of the morning when it is still dark, and she preps and prepares for food, the food for her household. She goes to the market early. She picks up the fruits and the vegetables to feed her family. That was back then. In modern times, we can say she wakes up. She goes to market basket early before the crowd. Smart woman. Her loins are girded with strength, which means today she is not lazy. She goes out and she buys clothes for her family. She buys winter clothes in summer and summer clothes in the winter because she knows she can get them cheaper. She learned how to sew. She sews for her family. She mends their clothes. She gives to the poor. She remembers the needy because she fears God. She knows that the poor in society represents God. This is not easy to understand. She is not afraid of the snow. I laughed when I read that. You would think I made that up. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow. Fast forward to 2023. It means she is smart enough. She goes out and she buys a four-wheel drive. That's how I interpret this. I don't know how you look at this. But the text says she is not afraid of the snow. Do we get mad when it's snowing? Not the smart woman. So she's smart enough to buy a four-wheel drive to get around in the snow. She knows about real estate. It says that in the text. She buys some property. Her hands are blessed. In 2023, everything she touches turns to gold. She has the Midas touch. I know my mom did. Things that I could not do, and I would come back and say, how did you do that? I went down the street, and there was no food. And I come back, the house is smelling like a restaurant, and food is ready within an hour. How do you do that? And it's ready, and it tastes real good. Her children, or her child, they call her blessed. They see the strength in her. She is beautiful. Amen? And she is wise. She is a woman of noble character. And when she speaks, her words are peppered with wisdom. The Bible says that. She is a businesswoman. Her pantry at home is filled. I can relate. I don't run out of anything. I go grocery shopping for no reason. I know I have bread, but I want two more. How many cucumbers can I eat? But I'll buy another bag, just in case that it rains tomorrow and I can't go outside. It's not going to rain tomorrow. In the back of my mind, I think if I run out of something, the whole world is going to freeze over. I'm always at Market Basket, and I am not guilty. I learned now that I should go early, so that's what I do. She is filled with beauty. She is simply amazing. Lemuel wrote this about his mother. And she is a wonderful wife. And her husband, if she has one, her partner, her lover, nowadays we can go on and on. Whoever she is with, or the man who she is with, should not only be considered as the sexiest man alive, we can say that on the altar, but he should be considered as the luckiest man alive. Husbands, here's your line. Feel lucky this morning. Solomon got his wisdom from God, and he used it to his best advantage. Instead of focusing on other things, he turned the attention and his wisdom to the woman who birthed him. And he had nothing but praiseworthy things to say about her. So men and young boys, I know it is not wise to beat up on you this morning. So here is your chance to say to the woman, or the women, or the mother in your life, the female in your life, here is your chance to say, I love you, I appreciate you, I'm listening. And if your mother is not there, she's no longer with you, you can whisper in your hearts, I love you and I appreciate you, or I loved you if she's no longer here, and I appreciated you. I'll give you a moment. I can't hear anything. I love you and I appreciate you. Husbands, you should say that to your wives also. Okay. I think we have a problem here. All right. We'll go over the embarrassment. Boys, young men, you should say to your mom, husbands, you should say it to your wives.
We have some confrontation over there.
All right. Today, let us pray for all the mothers, those who are here, those who could not be here today, and those who are no longer here. And I know that sometimes Mother's Day may not mean a lot to a lot of people. We all have our history. We all come from different places. For those who no longer have their mothers, it may not be an easy day for you. But the Lord knows your heart. You could still speak to your mom. There are those who have been abused, yes, by mothers. But we are called to look beyond our years. We are called to love and to reverence and to remember that God is the maker of us all. And in our hearts, we should find some form of forgiveness to forgive those who have wronged us. Let us take a moment of silence to reflect on the mothers around us. Mother, M, means meek and maternal. O means occupational and opulent. T means thankful, trustworthy, tremendous caring. H means heaven. everlasting love, ever kind and embracing, are man's remembrance, reasoning and respectful, as she clings to a righteous God who first loved us.